Okay, this is pretty awesome. So if you are into science-backed products when it comes to your health, your gut health, but also woman-owned products, I must introduce you to Equilibria. I'm so thankful I discovered them this year. I mean, Equilibria, they help you take on your wellness journey knowing that you have a dedicated one-on-one support to help you achieve your goals. So it's not like you're just taking a pill mindlessly. You actually get one-on-one support. That's awesome. And their signature product, which is EQ's Daily Women's Microbiome Defense, it comes in a convenient 3-in-1 capsule form. And so this is specifically formulated to bolster digestive health and fortify gut barrier protection, among other benefits. And we know that a balanced gut not only enhances our immunity, but also contributes to our overall mental well-being and our quality of sleep, of course, having efficient digestion and even radiant skin. But what distinguishes Equilibria's probiotic supplement is its meticulous selection, which is tailored to women's health needs. And of course, like I said, science-backed, and they're also ensuring affordability without compromising potency. And as someone who once struggled pretty severely with gut health issues for years, I intensified my focus on gut health in, I'd say, around 2020. And I'm thrilled to have recently discovered these products this year, as of course, they're backed by research for women's well-being, they're women-owned, and they support overall microbiome health, warding off harmful bacteria and enhancing our nutrient absorption. So head to myeq.com and use code MAGIC for 15% off Equilibria's microbiome defense and much more. That's myeq.com. And use code MAGIC at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today. As someone who is so excited to garden this spring, yet really wants top quality soil, I'm really excited to introduce you to Coast of Maine, which is an esteemed brand renowned for its organic soil offerings. And if you're seeking to infuse your home environment with a nourishing essence that promotes flourishing plant life, you're gonna wanna listen to this, because with over 28 years of expertise, Coast of Maine has meticulously crafted soils sourced from oceanic waters and farms certified for organic cultivation. It's so nice to find such a sustainable, eco-friendly brand who really emphasizes the importance of natural ingredients to enrich their soil. And I mean, they have, like I said, top quality with rigorous quality control and OMRI listed certification. Their diverse range of products caters to all gardening needs. Most of our soils may lack appropriate nutrients for success for our plants, and our plants need this. We want to regenerate the healthy microbes in our soils to set up for gardening success and just for our plants to thrive. So if we add Coast of Maine products, this will indeed help. Whether you're planting trees or shrubs or perennials in your yard, adding Coast of Maine soil in your planting holes leads to a long, slow feeding of your plants, making them self-sufficient and vibrant, which we love. Let's say you want a vegetable garden. Not only will you receive abundant harvest, but there will be less feeding and maintenance throughout the season. Amazing. You know that everything grown in Coast of Maine soil is organic and safe for your family and friends right out of the garden. And then you get to also feel good about their sourcing, as I'm so thankful they provide natural ingredients because they will never include household waste or biosolids. And we know that nothing nurtures the world above better than the soil below, cultivated from products and practices rooted in Coast of Maine. And so they will continually perfect the art and science of sourcing, mixing, and composting products worthy of the people and the place that inspired their brand and the healthier world it was built to serve. Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. We love supporting local, and the products are carried by local retail partners who can provide advice and insight not found in big box stores. So Coast of Maine knows from beginner to expert. Anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere. And their products make organic gardening simple and approachable so we can all garden. So let's get to growing. Visit coastofmaine.com to find a local retailer near you. That's Coast of Maine, like the state with an E, coastofmaine.com.
I think when you practice visualization and when you practice like allowing yourself to envision the reality that you want for yourself and to tap into the gratitude for that reality, right? But really allowing yourself to get super creative in your visions, whether that's through dreams, whether that's in like a visual meditation, whether that is just daydreaming about things that you want for yourself or about even about the world being a better place. You just unlock new doors for yourself. So just make time to like explore your imagination in whatever form feels good for you.
Now let the magic begin. Hello, Njaima. Jaimayomis. It's Raquel, and welcome to Your Own Magic, a soul-expanding and heart-opening podcast. This episode is sponsored by my current go-to meditation app, Headspace. More on them and their free month offer in the midst of the episode and in the show notes. And happy Leo season, my favorite season of all as a multi-Leo. It's 6:45 a.m. The sun is rising, and it is burning bright red. So fitting for Leo season. I love it. And I had to share a special episode that I thought would ignite a warm fire within, and in a beautiful way, of course. You'll feel soothed and warm by the beautiful voice and spirit of Bella Divine. And Bella and I dive into her story, her spiritual journey, how to expand your imagination, moon rituals with the elements for manifesting and releasing, and other ways she manifested, including manifesting her new career, influencing and teaching tens of thousands or perhaps hundreds of thousands of humans on social media, and the power of shamanic training, the wisdom of her heritage, Toltec, along with Hui Chol, and the ease of MDR, minimum daily requirement, also
the power of setting SMART goals. That's an acronym, SMART. She'll go over that. Tapping into the divine feminine and so much more. So I obviously, this is my kind of conversation. She's someone I could see myself hanging out with outside of the podcast. And you can just tell that she's surrounded by grounded and connected energy. She does talk about being around her abuela, so I'm sure that has something to do with it. I also love to hear her bracelets or her bangles in the background shake as she spoke. It brought a sweet charm. It brought a sweet charm. Anyway, if this episode or any Your Own Magic episode ignites or inspires your soul, feel free to leave a rating and review, just if you feel the nudge to. And if you do, thank you so much. It means to the moon, as you likely know. Also, stay tuned for other upcoming podcasts. I don't know when the big announcement will be. It could be early August, end of August, early September. I don't know. I just am waiting for more logistics to go through before I share it with you, but I am about to share it and it's coming together. And so it's going to surprise you. It's an announcement that will surprise you, but it will be released soon. So stay tuned for that surprise. Anyway, let's get on with the show, shall we? And now I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Bella Divine. Bella, what is lighting you up most in this season of your life?
Yeah, I was thinking about that question a little bit, and I think that what's lighting me up the most in this season of my life, it's a great question, by the way, is imagination. And I say that because over the last year, allowing myself to really expand my imagination and how far I'll let it stretch has allowed me to like completely create a new reality. So yes, definitely imagination.
Oh, that's a beautiful answer. And I know that you're a writer. So indeed, being able to spark and expand that imagination is so needed, is so helpful, at least for your writing.
Yeah, absolutely. So writing is a big part of it. And I think I've just let myself tap into it a little bit more. I think with, you know, just like societal structures, we tend to kind of dim our light and dim what we're like comfortable perceiving. And over the past year, both through practicing quantum meditative practices and then also getting into channeling after working with a medium, I've just realized how powerful imagination really is.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I can't wait to hear more about your experiences, especially with channeling. But I first want to know your story and how you started this trajectory of going to ashrams and exploring your spirituality and expanding from there.
Yeah. So my spiritual journey is nonlinear, but it started at a very early age. So I'm actually here in Mexico at my abuela's house, and I lived here as a child. I like lived between here and Philadelphia in the US, and she comes from a long line of spiritual people. She's indigenous, and her ancestors are both Huichol and Toltec and probably some other things that we're not totally sure of. But she raised me like learning breath work. You know, my mom was into homeopathy. And so they very much encouraged my imagination. And at this time living in Mexico, my grandma would always bring up, I would like go to her doctor and I would say, oh, like I see angels in your waiting room. And instead of being like, oh, this kid's crazy, my family was like, yeah, she sees angels. And So they totally encouraged the spiritual. And then I eventually moved back to Philadelphia to a big inner city for high school, for middle school, most of middle school. And I got very disconnected from the spiritual because there was very little of it culturally there. And people would be like, are you a witch? Like, just like, you know, rude little comments. And so I think I kind of stuffed that part of myself down. I was like smoking cigarettes, like, you know, doing what the cool kids do, going to parties.
Yep.
I'm sure you know
how. Yep, I know.
And then, I guess lost myself, was very anxious. And writing was always like the thing that kind of held me together. But once I was back in college, I kind of realized just how important spirituality was to me. And I really reconnected through Toltec knowledge. That was like really my initiation. And then it kind of went all over the place to just like becoming obsessed with consuming and understanding and having great teachers.
Ah, that is so beautiful. And I love that you're with your abuela right now,
yeah.
especially during this conversation and just having her energy around. I have to say, because you kept bringing up the word imagination, and I'm sure it was very vivacious as a child, and it's beautiful that you're retapping back into that. And for those that feel like they have lost that spark, that imagination, that creative feeling of just being able to explore beyond the physical or whatever our mind wants to take us or our heart wants to take us, our soul wants to take us. What tips do you perhaps have for those that are just really wanting to tap back into their imagination?
Yeah, that's a great question. Something that I love to do with my clients and that I love to teach is working with the feminine archetypes, but in a little bit of a different way than perhaps we normally like would think to. So I love to kind of combine like shamanic and ancient practices with the archetypes. So for example, like connecting with the essence of the wild woman, you could, I think that the wild woman is very much like connected to the womb space. And so like kind of circling the hips and like rolling the wrists and finding, a connection to that movement. Or I have an exercise where I have people kind of work with the inner child. And so for anybody listening, I would recommend picking a couple animals. For example, you could do like a giraffe or a horse and putting on some funny music and letting yourself like act out what it would be like to move like those animals. And you'll probably end up laughing at yourself. It feels awkward.
Good.
But you start to kind of tap into just what it feels like to imagine a different reality, right? And that kind of allows you to begin to see how you can shift your own.
Oh, I absolutely love that. And another barrier that happens when we are not allowing ourselves to open up, because we all are able to tap into this imaginative field. But when we're not able to tap in, it's simply just an egoic barrier. And I think that that animal exercise is a beautiful example to tap back into that, because when I did acting classes as a child, they would always have us pretend to be some sort of animal to let go of our ego and our self-consciousness and just feel free to express ourselves. And we let that ego go, because we were like, okay, we're just going to drop and just be and then be silly. So therefore you are able to let go of whatever that veil is, which is the ego, and just be free.
You know, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because something I didn't mention to you and something that, again, like what held me together between the spiritual like highs in my life was writing. That was like the consistent thing I stuck with. And I was a slam poet in high school, and my teacher was an English teacher and an acting teacher. And I remember one time I had my heart broken and I had to like perform in front of 200 people or something like that. And it was my first time performing alone. And I had been broken up with, I wrote a whole new poem, memorized it like the whole night. And I went in and my coach was making me, like my poetry coach was having me practice in front of everybody. And I was like, you know, getting in my head about it. And he like made me put my arms up and like stand really funny and read this like emotional poem. And you start to just kind of, yeah, like it's the same thing, kind of see how powerful it is to just not take yourself so seriously with your movement, right?
Oh, I love that. It's like, okay, we think that they're trying to take advantage of our emotions, but no, it's them allowing us to release it and express it in the most beautiful way, which when someone is heartbroken, I mean, of course it's so tragic, but at the same time, how beautiful it is that you got to create from that experience and write and then share it and express it in an art form.
Right. And in that practice session, like what I was so awkward and embarrassed, but it made me get over myself, because I was like, well, I look crazy standing like this, but I'm going to put my heart into it now, because like, what do I have to lose at this point? Right. So it.
Oh, I love that story. And one thing that I heard you talk about was MDR, since you are a writer and you make sure you write one page daily. So can you talk about MDR, what it is, and how one can begin to incorporate it into their life?
Absolutely. So MDR stands for a minimum daily requirement. And when I was becoming a yoga teacher, I was at an ashram, and I was taught by this really amazing yogi who, when she started her practice, I don't know, 30 years ago or something, she was struggling with consistency. And so she kind of created this idea of a minimum daily requirement. And for her, I think it was one sun salutation a day. And so I kind of took that on for myself and started doing one sun salutation a day just to start finding consistency. At the time, I was a very inconsistent person. And I realized that it could translate over to writing as well. I used to put so much pressure on myself to write for literally 2 hours every day. And then when I didn't and I was late, it was so much easier to just be like, I'm not going to do that. So you can apply it to anything and just pick like, what is, you know, something that you could do on any given day, even when you're feeling absolutely awful. It could be 60 seconds of dancing. It could be writing two sentences. It can be whatever you want, but over time that commitment to yourself really adds up to results.
The compound effect, it's so powerful. And momentum is, I think, one of the strongest forces in the universe. And so even though you might not feel like it that one day, it's like even the act of in and of itself is going to indeed, like you said, add up. I think that's so beautiful. I write in my journal. Okay, in all fairness, my journal is so small. So it could be equal to one page, but I write three because, again, it's so small. But I have that commitment myself because I can easily fall off if I don't.
Did you get that from The Artist's Way? Because I also, I read The Artist's Way and I wanted to do three pages, but this year, or at the time I made that video, I bought this giant journal that is so big and I was like, I can do it. One is my commitment.
See, that's perfect. If I had a giant one as well, I would just, you know, totally make it one. I'm telling you, my journal is so small. It's the minimum. And yes, Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Everybody, I highly recommend reading that and allowing your subconscious to simply tap into that stream of consciousness and write.
Absolutely. It's such a game changer, that book.
Yes. Yes, it really is. Are you ever going to write and share things, if you haven't already, on Toltec and Huichol wisdom?
Yeah. So not at this point in time, I everything that I have written about it, I teach within my program, my mentorship program. It's called Divine Alignment Activator.
Yeah, I'm so curious. Okay, you have to talk more about that as well. And your clients, like, what do you do exactly? Because this is something that I'm sure will inspire many.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm happy to share about that. I have not yet written anything about Toltec or Huichol knowledge for public eyes, but I am putting out a poetry book this year. I've been so, it's been hard for me always to put out my writing. I actually, 16, I started writing a book about the Mexican drug cartels because I just was fascinated and just like sad about it. And then I finished it when I was, I think, 21, 22, and I haven't looked at it since because it was like my baby. I had to just let it sit. So this year on my vision board, it is a goal to get at least my poetry book out. And so that's in the works.
Oh, good. I'm so glad you have a vision board as well. And vision boards are another great way to tap into that imagination.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So within my program, I'll tell you a little bit about that. My three big things, and that kind of are the backbone for the program, are intention, which is a big part of Toltec wisdom, imagination, as well as intuition. And I think that with those three qualities, really strengthening them, you're able to tap into some serious magic. And in terms of my background, I've been really lucky to work with a very renowned Mexican psychotherapist. She owns a school here. She also comes from a long line of shamanic practitioners. Her name is Suhey Aleman, and she was able to kind of get me, being a coach, into some more traditional, while still being innovative, like psychotherapy and trauma trainings. And so in addition to like spirituality, I really love research and kind of grounded, you know, research practices. And that's kind of where my program comes in, is I really like to fuse spirituality and psychotherapy to really help people heal their traumas, become spiritually empowered, and just be more aware of all the things.
That's so beautiful. I love that. And I love that she comes from a shamanic lineage. Didn't you do a shamanic training as well?
Yeah. So, well, I did. I have learned from a lot of shamans in Mexico, but I don't call myself a shaman because traditionally that word is like reserved for someone who's dedicated their whole life to it. Generally, people were kind of off the grid. But I do teach shamanism, so I don't call myself a shaman, but I love shamanism. I love teaching it. And I teach generally from a very Toltec standpoint. So I have done a lot of trainings regarding Toltec wisdom, which is in its own way shamanic.
That's so beautiful. Okay, but what if someone's listening and they're like, what is Toltec wisdom and what is shamanism?
Yes, so Toltec wisdom is an ancient, like indigenous to Mexico form of wisdom. It's not necessarily like limited to people of a certain lineage because it's more so a way of life. And so the Toltec believe that we are the artists of our lives, that we are constantly creating our lives through our perceptions. And they were, you know, they existed like they were descendants of the Aztecs, so many thousands of years ago. And so they were really amazing. They were dreamers. They were really big on imagination and on lucid dreaming and paying attention to the meanings of like the strange synchronicities that life throws your way. And the whole idea of Toltec wisdom is to learn how to get free on the inside by understanding that you are the creator of your life. So, for example, like if I say, come closer, we're creating intimacy. But if I say, leave me alone, we're creating separation. And so really kind of honing in on that approach to life allows you to realize how much power you have in shaping your reality. So that's a little snippet on Toltec wisdom.
Is there any books you recommend people can read or find on Toltec wisdom?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first book that I'd recommend is probably the most widely known book. It's called The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. I always recommend that as a starting point. He is really great and he has a lot of very popular and well-known books when it comes to Toltec wisdom. And then there's also a book that is not as well known. It is called Burning Water. That's really cool. And then also The Toltec Secret by Sergio Magaña. He's really involved in the Toltec wisdom world as well.
Beautiful. I love this. And then how about for shamanism? And then how do they integrate in your work and your teachings?
Yeah. So the way that I like to teach shamanism is from a very practical standpoint.
Yeah.
So I like to teach like the wisdom basics that you can incorporate, as well as how to perform ritual and ceremony using like shamanic symbolism, elements, and you know, ideas. And then I also like to teach something that's called shamanic recapitulation. So I can explain a little bit about that. So when it comes to ritual and ceremony, I think that, again, the key is always pure intention. This is like the biggest thing behind the shamans of Mexico, the Toltecs. I mean, amongst most groups from Mexico, intention was a huge, huge concept. And so whenever you're going into ritual, whether it's a full moon or a new moon or you know, something specific that you want to accomplish, like a manifestation ritual, you want to think about what you're trying to achieve. So rituals are so much more about the why and not so much about the how. And I think we tend to get like lost in the idea of, I need certain crystals or I need candles or I need all these things and I need to know how to do it. But most importantly, it's just what is your intention when you come to ritual, and to make sure that it's coming from a place of love and compassion and not negativity towards yourself or others. So I think if you come from a place of love in your ritual, you can't go wrong. And this is a very traditional shamanic teaching. When it comes to symbolism, I love using incantations. So an incantation is like a 2, 3, or 5 line. It could be like a spell, it could be like a poem, just some phrases that are very intentional to guide you through your ritual. So one that I always like to use, and I learned this one from a card deck, is disperse, dissolve, cleanse, and clear, make space for great mystery here. And
that's so cute. I love that.
Yeah. And then in terms of elements, if you're doing a shamanic ritual, the moon and the sun have always traditionally been really important. But you can also use the elements. So, you know, water, earth, fire, air, and you can You can consider this when you're doing moon rituals as well.
New moon rituals?
Yeah, so a new moon or a full moon. So if you're doing like a full moon ritual, and let's say that the full moon falls under the sign of Taurus, which is an earth sign, you could, and this is something that I've done, like put out a little bowl and write like the things that you want to release for the full moon, put it in the bowl, and then pour dirt on top of it. And it's like as if to bury those things. You could also do that with your intentions for the new moon.
I love that. And then do you ever burn it? it depends on where you're at.
Yeah, it depends where I'm at. Or like if it's a fire sign, then fire, definitely bring that in. But the burning is good.
Of course. Okay. And then how about for water sign? If it's like Pisces moon or something.
For water, I'll do a bowl with water, and then I'll just leave the paper in it. Or sometimes if like the, I don't know, there's, it's like, you know, some planets are in earth signs, some planets are in water signs, you could still bury your intentions and then water them as if to like symbolically grow them. I think that's a cool one.
Yeah. And then air,
I like recommend having like a feather or incorporating your breath. So you could like do a little breathwork practice as well.
Okay. And do you still write something down or?
Yeah, absolutely. And you could like even, like, you know, you could hold it to your heart while you're breathing. Again, I think there's so much room for freedom within the rituals. And if you just start thinking about like how to be more intentional by incorporating the elements, by incorporating, you know, what's going on in the cosmos, you can create really meaningful rituals for yourself.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And also, when do you choose to release and when do you choose to manifest or call in?
I choose to, call in and manifest for the new moon and then release for the full moon.
Yep.
Different cultures have different practices with it as well. And I haven't learned too much about like sun rituals, but I know that there's also some of that as well when it comes to shamanism.
That's a fun, practical thing anyone can do. I also like your take on manifesting or calling in. You were talking about setting, and I used to do this as well, and it is so grounded and very practical, is setting SMART goals. Do you mind talking about SMART goals, and do you mind going over the process?
Yeah, sure. So SMART goals are something that like I'm a water sign, I'm a Pisces, I'm an airy fairy, and I'm like always floating away. And so I really need the grounded logical structures in my life to like stay on track. And so SMART goals are something that have really helped me. And so essentially a SMART goal is a way of creating goals that just support you in making sure that they are like, you know, specific. That's what the S stands for. Yeah, the M is measure. And then the A is achievable. What is the R? Realistic and then timely. The T in SMART goals stands for timely. And so basically when it comes to timeliness, you just want to know by what time, by what date you want to achieve your goal. I think that this is really important because work expands to fill the time that we allot to it. So when we say like, I'm going to get this done in a month, it's so much more likely to happen. So I also think that like, it's really powerful to reverse engineer the results that you want. And to just kind of have a little bit of an action plan for yourself.
100%. Do you mind walking us through an example?
Yeah, absolutely. And so like, I'll say something else, which is that SMART goals are really like tried and tested. I think a lot of productivity gurus talk about it. And it's also big in NLP, which is all neuro-linguistic programming, all about subconscious reprogramming. And it's popular for a reason. So it just helps you to make sure that you're meeting the criteria that like to actually stay on track. And for example, I like to set like daily and weekly habits for each SMART goal that I create. So in my example, which is like the first time I ever did this, was to write a book. And that seemed huge for me. It seemed almost impossible. And so I think, you know, if you have the goal, for example, I had this goal with my poetry book of writing a book in 3 months, it might sound like really crazy and unachievable, but it's actually quite achievable when you break it down. So like, if let's say your goal is to have 30,000 words or 10 chapters of 3,000 words each per chapter in your book, then your monthly goal might be writing 10,000 words per month so that you get, you know, 30,000 words done in 3 months. And so that would work out to 3 or 4 chapters per month. And then if you break that down, chunk it down a little bit more, then weekly, that would be about 2,500 words per week. And then you could break that down into writing like 350 words per day, which really isn't a lot. I think that we tend to get overwhelmed when we look at like the whole mountain of, you know, the goals that we want to get to, and then it can just kind of cripple us. And so when we make it really achievable, it's almost like we have no excuse to not go for our dreams.
To my friends who are new to meditation or even seasoned meditators, I have a special app for you with a very special and generous offer of 1 month free from our sponsor of this episode, Headspace. And Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation may be, Headspace really can help you feel better. If you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious, Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. And if you need help falling asleep, which I have used this for, Headspace has wind down sessions their members swear by, including myself. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. And Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. I am very much enjoying their semi-guided and unguided meditations. Their teacher, Andy, has a soothing British accent, and his voice simply eases me into a silent guided meditation, as I prefer. But of course, there's many guided meditations for you to explore as well. And Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. So you deserve to feel happier, and Headspace meditation is made simple. Go to headspace.com/magic. That's headspace.com/magic for a free 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. So head to headspace.com/magic today. And now on with the show.
What are some habits that you feel will completely transform one's life that you might recommend? Maybe it's something that you've learned from Toltec wisdom or elsewhere.
Yeah, I have two things that I think are completely life transformative. And the first one is so simple that anybody can do it. And that is keeping a gratitude journal. I think if you, and this actually goes right in line with Toltec wisdom, because in Toltec wisdom, they talk a lot about how we have this voice in our heads, and the voice in the head, your head, is the judge. It's not you. And you know that it's not you because you weren't born with a voice in your head. You didn't, you know, weren't born speaking a language. And this voice that you know, is the source of negative self-talk originates from all of the judgments and perceptions of the people around you. And so if you want to work on being less negative towards yourself, you want to focus on, again, the intention in this case being gratitude, because I believe gratitude is the highest vibration emotion. And so when I used to be very hard on myself, self-critical, anxious, and I bought a gratitude journal online for like $15, I started doing that every morning, and it would have really beautiful prompts. Like, for example, think of 5 people that you are so grateful to have met in life, and then talk about specific qualities for each one. And starting your day off like that, it just shifts your mindset and your perspective into one of appreciation and gratitude. And over time, I really feel like keeping a gratitude journal just literally, like, there's no negative voice in my head anymore. Like, I really feel like I look at the world from just a place of deep appreciation now. That was a life changer.
That's beautiful. And it's not an easy thing for most humans to feel is even possible. So it's nice to hear that it is. And I cannot agree more with the fact that gratitude is one of the most easy to access vibrational states that anybody can at any moment, whenever they're feeling low. You can look around and you can see something in your room, or you can look in your phone and see someone you are just simply grateful for to have in your life. It's so wild how that simple act can shift your world immensely in 1 second.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a very simple thing. Like, you could, you know, some people, I have clients who they don't have time to journal every morning, and they'll simply just do like 5 gratitude breaths. And then each in breath, they think of something they're grateful for. So it's like a very simple practice that way.
I love that. Do you have other routines that you would like to share on here that you also recommend for your clients?
Dancing every day.
Yes.
I think that's another game changer, because I think that when you start to just really connect with what in Toltec wisdom they call the movement of the spirit, which is just letting yourself get into a flow state of non-judgment, moving the way that your soul, you know, feels necessary to release energy or to move through things. You just learn to feel so much more empowered, and like you can really self-resource within your own body. So I think, and it's fun. It's so fun.
100%. I think that's when I tapped into my true confidence, is when I started dancing when I was younger, just because I felt free, you know, I felt free. It's that simple.
Me too. And I think, like, when, again, going back to the feminine archetype, something else that you can do, and I'm really big on blending practices, is when you dance, you could pick, for example, to embody the goddess and think to yourself, like, how would a goddess dance? And like, let that kind of move through you. And it'll, I don't know, it's a beautiful way to tap into confidence if it doesn't come as naturally to you.
That's beautiful. I have a, if you ever want to tap into your goddess, I have a playlist, and you may as well have a playlist on Spotify called Shakti. And there's something about every song and the wave through every song that just allows a woman to tap into that divine feminine and release her.
I will definitely be checking that out. I love getting new music.
I'll send it to you. Anyway, do you have any other messages for the collective that you feel you want to share from your heart?
Yeah, I guess to end on the same note of imagination, just like, I think when you practice visualization and when you practice like allowing yourself to envision the reality that you want for yourself and to tap into the gratitude for that reality, right? But really allowing yourself to get super creative in your visions, whether that's through dreams, whether that's in like a visual meditation, whether that is just daydreaming about things that you want for yourself. Or about even about the world, like being a better place. You just unlock new doors for yourself. So just make time to like explore your imagination and whatever form feels good for you.
You know what? Before we go into rapid fire, because this is so profound, I am curious about your version of visualization and perhaps anything that you did visualize that came into your reality once you did explore this with your imagination.
Of course. So I, again, like was really lucky to have a lot of really great mentors, and I kind of like learned a little bit about Joe Dispenza. If you all don't know who that is, you should check out the book Becoming Supernatural by him. It's all about the quantum field. Yes. Manifestation and visualization in some degree. And I kind of took that and then combined it with some Toltec practices and rituals. And so something that I was able to create by imagining it was, and this sounds so silly, but like I really wanted to have an audience of people that I could share my message with.
That's not silly.
You're right. It's not silly. And I think that was actually what probably held me back from achieving that for some time, right? Was just thinking that wasn't that important. Because yeah, I didn't like vanity metrics don't really mean that much, but they do if you have a beautiful message. And so, so I was like, okay, I want to hit 10,000 followers at the beginning of this year in January 2020. And so what I started doing was kind of doing a similar practice to what Dr. Dispenza does, which is essentially visualizing very specifically a goal that you want to achieve and then focusing on the emotion, right, that would bring you as if it were already yours. So the gratitude for having that audience. And I got really creative in terms of how I was visualizing it. And it was way more, like, less like, you know, seeing numbers going up, and way more like seeing these lights, like light beings flowing towards me and connecting with my heart. And I would imagine these like light cords shooting out from my heart and connecting with other people and just bringing all of these like little balls of light into my field. And feeling the, like, what energy would I feel if I had all these people, this audience in my field? And, you know, it's also important to let go of the result. And Raquel, I'm sure you know all about this. But I was visualizing that for maybe a month, and then I had a moon ritual, and I had it like I had a ritual at my altar, and I laid on the ground and I just like called upon my spirit guides and was kind of asking for guidance and telling them like, okay, I think I'm ready. I think I could like really hold space for this many people. I feel like it wouldn't get to me. And I was aware at that point that like if my Instagram were to gain a lot of followers, that like, you know, it's something that you have to mentally prepare for so that you're not getting addicted to social media and so that you're not, you know, like letting your self-worth be influenced by it as well. Like I was very aware of those dynamics that can happen. And so I had this ritual, and the next day, literally the next day, one of my videos on Instagram went viral and hit over like a million views, and my following went up to like over 20,000 people, which was insane.
That's so cool. That is amazing how that happens.
Yeah, it was so, just the timing was very validating. And after that, I was like, wow, your imagination is so, so powerful. And I realized also, because it was very overwhelming when that happened, to like get so many messages. And I think people romanticize this idea of having like a large following, but it can also be a lot energetically to handle when people are, you know, telling you their whole life stories and wanting personal attention, especially regarding trauma. So it was something that I had to like really kind of ground myself back into my values and my boundaries. And it was cool. That was really cool to just how much visualization and imagination supported me in doing that.
Yeah. I love that story. So great that you are grounded and you are able to set those boundaries, and especially the energetic boundaries with yourself. And I'm so happy for you. It's a celebration, you know? It's like, okay, look, this is proof we all have the power within us, and it's accessible for all of us, whatever our wildest imagination wants to bring into our reality.
Right. And something else I'll mention that I think is so important when it comes to manifesting anything with your imagination is, again, going back to intention. Like, what is your intention? So my intention with that was to manifest a larger following, to be able to help more people heal. And my greater goal is to eventually like either start a nonprofit in Mexico to give back to Indigenous women. And so that intention is always there. And I had to really check in with that when, you know, Instagram was blowing up, and to be like, I'm not going to care what people think and really focus more on, being committed to like my mission and my truth than I am to like being liked, right?
Yes. Yes. Good for you. And then we're also always evolving as well. So it's good to stay true to you the entire process.
Right. And so I wanted to just leave anybody listening with this idea that like when you're manifesting, when you have these big goals, checking in with the intention is so important, because I think that the universe, if sometimes people's manifestations don't work. And I think that it can be because sometimes they're not for the highest good.
Yes.
So like being rich and famous, for example, like you have to really check in with the intention of like, what is that for? Like, that's cool. But like, what are you going to do with that wealth, yeah, and that fame? And that can be like a really beautiful intention, right?
How are you going to serve the world in some way? How are you going to bring more beauty in the world and more warmth for other hearts? I 100% exactly agree. I love that. I love that. Are you ready for some rapid fire?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Same. Vanilla or chocolate?
Oh, chocolate. Recently.
Recently. Interesting. Early bird or night owl?
Early bird.
Yeah. What's your morning routine like?
I wake up at like, I love my mornings. I love being awake, mm-hmm, before anyone else is. Wake up. I drink water. I meditate. I journal. I dance. Sometimes I light some incense. Sorry, mm-hmm, I was trying to say crystals at the same time. And then I have some breakfast. Yeah, get to work.
Love that. And get to work. And when you're not working, how do you spend your time?
In nature and with my two chihuahuas.
Oh, cute. I love that. What is your most used emoji, if any?
Yeah, probably the purple crystal ball or the blue spiral.
Of course, I love that. And then any books you're currently reading, if any?
Yes, I am reading, what is it called? Hold on. It's called, it's a book called Healing Ancestral Trauma, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Amazing. And then how about TV shows, if any, or movies?
This is so funny, but I actually got into watching The Bachelorette over like quarantine, because everything that I do is, it can be heavy with trauma work, yeah, with like learning these very intellectual things. And I was like, I'm craving reality TV.
Yeah. Yes. When I was going through a crazy shadow working period and also helping others with that, I needed a lightness and I got into Real Housewives. I haven't watched it since, but I want to and I will.
It can be so fun to just turn your brain off and giggle at like drama that's kind of irrelevant to you. It's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I used to be, when I started my spiritual journey, I took, and I think this is just a great message for a lot of people. I don't know why this is coming through right now, but sure, I would take it all so seriously to the point where I was not acknowledging my humans, just desires of wanting lighthearted silliness, if that makes any sense. I remember Jordan, my friend Jordan, was like, she was talking about Real Housewives and I was like, why does she watch Real Housewives? And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And then I did it. And then everything has changed since then where I'm like, I love honoring my soul, my spirit, but also my human.
Yes, so important. And I think I also had a phase like that where I was like, oh, I'm like doing all these things, I'm so spirit, like how could I just keep being so spiritual? But really being spiritual is just like seeking to become self-actualized, and like sometimes in order to like let yourself actually become self-actualized, you also just need to like rest and enjoy like the silly human, like the fun little human thing.
Yeah, 100%. There's nothing to be ashamed of or embarrassed of or abashed by, whatever it is that you love. So props to you for loving The Bachelorette. Amazing. The last time I watched The Bachelor Ben season forever ago.
Oh, that's amazing.
Do you have a favorite era of music?
Probably like, I want to say like 80s.
Yeah.
But also I really like the, it's not that I like 2000s music. I just really liked Amy Winehouse.
I do. Ah, oh, yes, of course. Let's see. I'm looking through my question. Would you rather, I'm really curious, would you rather have a conversation with your future self or your past self, Bella?
Future self. Or no, sorry, past self for sure.
Past self. Really? Mm-hmm. Really? What do you think you would say to her?
I would read her the letter that I wrote to my younger self.
Wow. Oh, I love that. When did you write this letter?
I wrote it when I was creating my business, and I was really trying to just do some like deep soul searching about what younger me needed, you know, which became the program that I created, and what I needed to hear at that point in my life to actually commit to the path that led me to just like really, you know, moving past anxiety and just being a deeply happy person.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, that's beautiful. And then this is the last question that I ask all the Your Own Magic guests. How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Learn the rules to break the rules.
Learn the rules to break the rules. Do you mind elaborating a bit?
Of course. So I learned that in high school from my tech teacher, and I think she was teaching it to us about like, if we were going to download music illegally, that we had to like make sure we were doing it safely still. And it just stuck with me and turned into this big metaphor for so many things. For example, like even working in the corporate world, there were things that I, you know, there was a point at which I worked in the corporate world and I was giving so much of myself to a job that was supposed to also be for me. And so I learned to, you know, kind of give myself more freedom and grace in certain scenarios. And I think this goes for spirituality as well. Like I'm a Reiki master. I'm an IET master practitioner. I have done all these trainings, NLP, like yoga teacher, all these things. And the more that I did and the more I was obsessed and consumed with getting these certifications and learning these amazing modalities, the more that I realized that you can, you want to learn the rules so that you understand, but then you can absolutely break free and combine things and make them your own. And break the rules.
Yes. Amen. Oh my gosh. That's beautiful. I 100% am on board with that. Where can everyone connect with you, Bella?
Yeah, so the primary way to connect with me is on Instagram. My username is at Bella with one L, divine.
With one L. And you're so, I love your Instagram and it's so beautiful. You're so beautiful and I'm so thankful we got to connect.
Me too. I would love to connect with you and get to just know a little bit more about you sometime because I think you're an amazing human. So thank you so much for having me.
I would love that. Maybe when I'm in Mexico, I'll be like, Bella.
I'm moving here in the fall, so I'll be in Oaxaca living on a coastal beach town, but I'll be traveling all over, so if you come, I'll come meet you.
This is gonna happen, Bella.
Yes it will. Planting the seed.
Yomis, that is a wrap. That is a wrap for this episode. I hope that something spoke deeply to you, expanded you in some way. Please let me know if so. You can catch me on Instagram at Raquel Mantra. I spell Raquel a different way than most, so you can see the spelling in the show notes. Or hang out with the Yomis, the like-minded, very conscious and expansive and helpful souls on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. Especially a place to turn to when it comes to, well, whatever you're going through. And there are several tools on the EuroMagic.life membership site. All right, well, thank you so much, and have a magical rest of your day.